and we're going to hear this from one of the very few Western journals who actually goes through the trouble, has gone through the trouble, and still does it, of learning about reality on the ground, digging out all the hidden information, and telling it all like it is. There are very few Robert Fisks around, and I don't know of anyone similar to Robert Fisk in Quebec. You all know who Robert Fisk is. This is why this hall was booked already several days ago. I'm going to focus more on putting his talk in the Canadian context. I don't have time to cover how Canada's role in international affairs has changed over the last 15 years a hell of a lot, but we all know that Canada went from being one of the most important participants in UN peacekeeping missions to one of the very least important. We know that we're definitely into war making in Afghanistan these days, and that we're spending more than ever in military and war-related expenditures. Actually, a recent report by Canada's budget officer, Kevin Page, revealed a total price tag of roughly between $14 and $18 billion until 2011. This was revealed last October. This was 2 to 3 times the amount that the government had acknowledged so far. And this does not include everything, as Kevin Page said in his report. Concerning Palestine, in the past few years, Canada has become as blatantly one-sided as the U.S. in its support for Israel, its blindness to Israel's recent war crimes in Lebanon and in Gaza, and its blindness especially to the lasting injustices endured by Palestinians. Last little action in relation to this, Canada was the only country at the UN Human Rights Committee in Geneva to vote against the resolution condemning Israel's invasion of Gaza. Despite our demonstrations in Montreal, despite Prime Minister Jean Chrétien's decision and the general public's impression, Canada did play a significant role in the invasion of Iraq. Actually, it was only a week into the invasion, on March 25th, 2003, that former U.S. Ambassador to Canada, Paul Cellucci, gave a speech to the Economic Club in Toronto, where he said that Canadians indirectly provide more support for us in Iraq than most of the 46 countries that are fully supporting us. So official policy was, in part, a response to our own actions, in part a positive response to our own actions, and in part misleading and deceiving. It's also important and interesting to know that in 2004, current Chief of Staff of the Canadian Forces, Walt Nadenchuk, commanded 10 brigades in Iraq, totaling 35,000 troops. He was actually second in command of the entire Iraq war for that entire year. In the Canadian Forces, they call this having forces on loan for training with the U.S. military, for training into action that our officials and the vast majority of our population oppose. In Afghanistan, we've been involved from day one, more than 7 years ago. And last March, our parliament has committed Canada's participation until July 2011. For more than 7 years now, we've seen quite often Canadian soldiers coming back in coffins, their families in grief. We've seen statements from Canadian officials in the military and Canadian political officials about how this war is good, this war is sponsored by the United Nations, etc., etc. What we haven't seen is images of war. And that's quite something. I mean, we've been at war for 7 years. We're firing more ammunition than we ever did and buying more and more of it. We don't see who the Canadian soldiers are shooting at, who who they're killing, who they're maiming, what they're destroying with their guns, their artillery, and their tanks. We don't see interviews with victims, trying to find out families of victims, trying to find out who the people were. We don't hear any true war stories in our country as the war goes on and on. When the Canadian Parliament decided last March that our intervention in Afghanistan would continue until July 2011, it did so against the will of a majority of Canadians, as several polls revealed time after time, and against the vast majority of Quebecers who opposed the war in Afghanistan. Such anti-democratic policymaking is not exceptional. It is actually now the rule in NATO member countries. The same kind of thing is happening in France, in Britain, in Germany, in Italy, in Portugal. Those countries commit their troops to making war in Afghanistan against the will of their population. It's not only governing parties that do not echo the will of the population in Canada, it is also opposition parties. Thus, the very strong anti-war feeling in Quebec is not relayed into the political arena to any significant extent, neither by the Bloc Québécois or Liberal MPs from Quebec. This strong anti-war sentiment is not echoed in the Canadian Parliament and in the political sphere. This situation of total misleading, opacity and deceit of military partnership with the U.S. Empire without public discussion of anti-democratic decision-making in our Parliament can only be overcome by more information work, broader mobilization, and much stronger demand and actions to end the war and carry out people's will. The Canada has decided to organize the Quebec People's Summit Against War and Militarism in mid-November this year. We hope that you will take part not only in the event itself, but more importantly in the discussion and preparation work that will be launched very soon. So in conclusion, I hope that you will, coming out of here tonight, keep in mind all the work that has to be done right here at home, and please enjoy this most interesting lecture by Robert Hicks.